I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Today's podcast is sponsored by one of our favorite products, Almond Cow. We've been using it for well over a year, and I say we, mostly my husband Mark, who is mooing. Honey, what are your thoughts about Almond Cow?
This is the Moo Man.
He's back.
I love the Almond Cow because we know how great it is. Anything that you could make a plant-based milk with, you're set. And I just have it. I don't need to make that much. It's just sitting in the pantry. And then when we're ready, I just make it. It takes a minute because it tastes so good.
It tastes so good. And for those of you who are thinking about it, let me tell you why. There are no added preservatives, any kind of artificial stuff. You put in it what you want. You can sweeten it to your taste. It is so easy to make, so easy to clean up, and it's pure gold. It really is.
And they give you a lot of recipes on the Almond Cow website. You have the recipe, so you don't have to think, you don't have to go anywhere to find it. It's there for you.
Yes, we love it so much. So if you're interested in getting your own, go check out the link or just go to their site, almondcow.co. And you can use code Lara, L-A-R-A, for extra savings. Go get yourself one and have fun. I'm Lara Hyman, and welcome to Redefining Movement, a lit podcast designed to investigate all aspects of movement from my background in physical therapy and neuroscience. My mission is to help everyone find freedom through smarter movement patterns and compassion for ourselves and others, so together we can live our most uplifted lives, benefiting all beings.
Welcome to Wednesday Q&A, where you ask the questions and we answer. I am joined by my fearless, brilliant, beautiful co-host, Kristen Williams.
Hey, Lara. Hey, everybody. If you're watching on our YouTube channel, we might look a little more tan than normal because
Mexico.
I'm enjoying my little golden.
Mm-hmm, I know. I was thinking.
Don't get used to it.
I know.
It's awesome. It was wonderful. If you guys haven't been on a lit retreat, find a reason.
So great. And here's a little hint. We're going back. So make sure you join our newsletter list so you can find out when that release of the retreat date is.
Magical. Whales every day, right outside the beach. I mean, right off the beach. Amazing.
Baby whales. Everything.
So lucky. All right. Enough of that.
Yeah.
All right. Let's begin here. We've got three great questions. We'll start here. From Melissa Frank, who wrote in, she says, I want to be able to step 1 foot forward from down dog into a low lunge. I can't get my foot as far as my hands. Long legs, short body, I don't know. What can I do to develop this skill? Strengthen the hip flexors, core? I don't even know what to work on, and it's a basic move. Feel like my arms are too short, and I can't get my torso high enough for my leg to go through. I have actually worked with a number of people on this. It's something that we do regularly in lit, in yoga, in any type of functional movement exercise, is just from a downward dog position where you're on your hands and knees and you step up a leg forward. A lot of people really struggle with that. And yes, there are people who have really long legs, short torso, short arms that are going to, it could be next to impossible to do it with a nice long spine, because it's just body mechanics. So if that is you, Melissa, use blocks. I mean, we have gotten this conception. I was actually watching on social media, this guy who I think does multiple different types of yoga, but he was talking about when a vinyasa yogi goes to an Ashtanga class and he whips out his blocks and the Ashtangi's like no to blocks, like they're a bad thing. And I just was thinking, really? Like, do they not use blocks in Ashtanga? There's so much judgment with blocks, but it's simply body
blocks. Yeah.
You know, like, so put blocks under your hands so you create more space. So that's number one. Like, if you really are somebody, or you've got big breasts, or you've got a belly that gets in the way, you know, you're pregnant. There's multiple reasons why. You've got large thighs, you know, that stepping forward physically is not possible, keeping your hands flat on the floor. There's no prize for keeping your hands on the floor. Put them on blocks, right? That would be my first thing. The second thing that I have seen for people who I know it's not a biomechanical thing is that they aren't using the rest of their body well. They really try to do it solely from the hip or from the leg. So I will talk to those people about, hey, what about that back foot? You know, use your calf muscle there. Get some lift. You know, you're pushing off with your calf, push off with the foot. They're like, oh, I can do that? Well, yes, you can. You know, push off. Give that poor leg a little help. Lift up in your core, you know, and maybe you do round your back a little bit. It's, are we going to defer to a long spine 75% of the time in lit? Yes. But does that mean you cannot flex your spine? No.
Especially when you're in that position where it's not, you've got your torso and your arms unweighted, you're actually using the floor.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, using the core to help that.
Exactly. So, you know, look to other areas. Maybe you're pushing pushing the floor. Maybe you're protracting your shoulder blades, pushing them apart to get more space. But look and make sure that you're not, it's not as much of a strength move as you think, as I think it is a whole body coordination of pushing off the back leg, lifting up in the core, pushing into the floor. Maybe you flex the spine, or maybe you use blocks. And it amazes me that I have people who say, I can't do it. And then we do a couple of things and they're like, oh my gosh, it's that easy. It's like, yes, you just weren't using your body as efficiently as you could. What else have you seen with that, Laura?
Well, first of all, I was going to say, whatever she said, I think she said, I don't know why I can't get this. It's a basic move. It's not really a basic move, because a basic move in a way is maybe in yoga, it seems like it should be a basic move because it's done a lot, but lots of people have developed compensatory ways of doing it. So then it becomes like even more confusing to the brain, because you're trying to overcome a more, you know, like regular pathway that you've developed. And it's not basic either, because we don't get on our hands and try and slide our foot forward in most any other part of our lives. So it's just, to your point, KB, it's like really training the body to work together, you know? So I would say things like, you know, if you've ever, I was watching this sprinting, you know, these Olympians like do their 100-meter sprint. And when they prepare, it's like that ready position. That's kind of what you're doing. They're ready, but they're not going to think about the foot going forward or just the leg swinging. The whole thing is like, I'm ready and then I'm going. And so it's that idea of like using the entire body, or think of like a, you know, four-limbed like feline or something. They're using their whole body. It's not just like a swing of the foot. So that's what I see the most, is people are so intent on step that foot forward. And it's not like a step, like you'd step up a stair. It's you've got to make space. And then I think of almost like sliding and making as much space as you can. And yeah, there is some strength involved, but it's more of that global strength like you were talking about. And use blocks. They're great.
I love blocks.
What you have to do is you have use blocks and always be fine with using them, but you also might need to use blocks to set up that different pathway that you, because if you, I've looked at people, at somebody in our retreat who always peeled off her hand, and it was just a habit. And I was like, can you keep that hand down? And when I went over, she would like keep it down because she'd remember, but then she'd kind of go back. So it's like some of it is a little bit of habit formation.
And not that peeling the hand's wrong.
No, it's not. It's
but
not.
Why not? But try. Can you try. Not? And then you're like, oh, I can.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Some of it is like just seeing if it works. Yeah.
I really think traditional yoga has got people so, it's so right or wrong. And that's my favorite thing about Lit is nothing is I mean, yes, there are some things that we do not do. Okay. But for the, when it comes to our Lit practice, nothing is right or wrong.
Right.
So we love to modify, and it's my favorite thing to do with people to work on them with their practice, because then it's like they open their eyes and they're like, oh my gosh, this is so much better for me. So great, great question, Melissa.
And speaking of things we never do, if you're interested, write in the questions like, well, what is it that you never do? Because I'll get those questions too. But
All right. So let's see. We have a second question here, and I'm not sure who wrote this, Laura. You might know, but it's such a great question. Can you expand on the hot yoga craze? I think we can.
I think it's okay. So I don't know if it's a craze. I think it's been around, and I think it's not totally died out. It's just in different pockets of the, I do think it's in different pockets. I don't think everywhere it's a craze. And it's sometimes a craze in places like where it's already hot and you're like, what? So here's my first impression. And I've talked about this on a podcast, like 700 podcasts ago about very early. And it is that the idea of turning up the heat and being in an enclosed room and practicing will make you feel like you're working really hard. You will feel exhausted. And most of that exhaustion is not because of the actual work you did. It's because of thermoregulation. And you're really, really, your body is spending a lot of its energy on doing that. And it can be very depleting, but that makes you feel like you're working harder. Does that mean you never work out in 95 to 105 degree weather? No, but do it outside. Doing it in a room, contained room with maybe decent ventilation, and that's maybe, it's not a good idea. And here's why. If you love it, hey, keep on with it. But there's a couple things. You're going to get so hot that your brain will feel like you're hot, but you're really hot from the outside in versus the inside out. The problem with that is you're going to probably feel more glidey or pliable. And listen, that can feel awesome if you're super tight. So again, there is maybe a place for it every once in a while or short periods. For people who do it regularly though, using that as a way of changing your tissue, it's temporary. This has been shown, by the way, in research that putting heat on an area of the body or having heat, it's a temporary shift because of the perception in the brain. And the issue with that is for people who don't need to go into deeper ranges because they might be super mobile, or even if they're a little bit mobile, like me, I'm not hypermobile, but if I went in there and all of a sudden I can just pop into here into a split or something or into a bigger range of motion, I don't feel it at the time because that heat is temporarily making me feel like those tissues are more pliable, but I haven't prepared my body to go into those ranges. So there's range of motion and then there's strength within the range of motion. And that's how you keep, you know, it's like you keep the accordion strong, right? You don't like knock some holes in it and it isn't working as well. You have to have the strength within that range of motion. So that's one thing that I originally have had a lot of issues with, because I've seen people who've come to me who have torn different ligaments, even micro tears in the tendon because they've been in hot yoga and were like, God, I felt like I could just do this. And then afterwards, the next day, I could barely walk. I mean, they really felt it pretty immediately. But the other issue is, like, I do think it makes you feel like you're working harder than you are. And to me, that's just like, personally, I want to work hard because I'm working hard, not because the environment has made it hard for me to work in. It's kind of like going in and saying, hey, let's just take a lot of oxygen out of the room and have you run in place. You're going to feel like you're working hard, but it's like you've also made it harder for yourself. And from an environmental standpoint, so you're actually not able to do as much. And I've taught workshops at hot yoga studios. And they, when I, you know, I would go in early and I might take a class the night before. And I'm like, and I'm thinking, I'm never going to be able to do what we would do in a lit class here. And I'll say, can we turn the heat down? They'll turn it down to maybe 85 or 89. And I still have to like slice out a quarter at least of the things I'd planned because people, they just can't manage it because they're managing thermoregulation. So there you go.
I mean, so I will say, as someone who travels to quite a number, just for different family reasons, and I love to go and take yoga classes whenever I travel, it is hard to find yoga that isn't hot. So I think that might be the craze she's talking about, in that if you're someone who really likes non-heated yoga, it can be hard as hell to find a place. You go to a city, it's all hot yoga. I mean, it's very hard to find non-hot yoga. And to your point, Laura, in the same way that America loves to pop a pill versus do work, in my opinion, and this might be harsh, hot yoga is easier. Because you just have to, you could go sit in class for 60 minutes and you would sweat without lifting a finger. Mm-hmm. So people love that. People love to sweat because sweat equals work. Mm. Even though in hot yoga, sweat does not equal work. I mean, you're going to sweat no matter
what. Thermoregulation. It's what we're supposed to do.
Thermoregulation. Go to a sauna if that's what you really want. But they know that sauna is not work. Like, so, but hot yoga. Now, I like to go to hot yoga every now and then. I think it's kind of fun to see what I can do when my body's also thermoregulating against unnatural heat. That's how my twisted brain works. Mm. But, you know, yes, I will be the first person to say what I hate about it. You're talking about the hypermobile person. I'm thinking about the hypomobile person who goes in there and says, this is what I see. People, they feel, to your point, more flexible, and they aren't. Mm-hmm. And then the yoga class is not well sequenced. It's not planned out because they don't think in that way. And they're throwing you into a very bendy pose 15 minutes into the class, and some poor hypomobile person doesn't do it and they tear something. Mm-hmm. And my husband being one of them that happened to, it gives this false sense of flexibility, which, let's be honest, everybody feels tight. That is what draws people. I would say 90% of people are drawn to traditional yoga to stretch. You go to a doctor, you're inflexible, they're going to say go to yoga, because everyone associates yoga with stretching. Go to hot yoga, you're really going to feel, I'm putting in quotes, you're really going to feel like you're stretching, but you're not gaining soft tissue flexibility in the scientifically based manner, of flexibility takes neuromuscular retraining, neurological rewiring for that to, and that's not going to happen in a hot room where you're getting false feedback. So again, I'm not throwing hot yoga under the bus, except that were I to ever open my own studio, I would probably have a room that maybe could heat up a little bit, because people like that. There are people who would want to come, and I would certainly sequence it very different to where I would not be injuring people. And some people just like to sweat. Like, people like to go into a sauna. Never my thing. I don't, that's not my jam. Yeah. And then I would have the non-heated like we do in Lit, where you're actually building that internal heat simply to provide the service for the greater population.
Yeah.
But my issue with hot yoga is it does give this, to your point, Laura, exactly, false sense of work, false sense of flexibility that can cause injury.
Yeah, and it's very different if you were to, because I'm from North Carolina and I practiced outside when it's 95 degrees and 100. I'm not saying it's easy, but there is an open air, very, very different. You get hot, you get sweaty, but it's a gradual. And then there's a lot of, you know, ventilation naturally happening. So you're not like cooking yourself from the outside in. So if, you know, practice, so I'm not against practicing in heat, but let it be natural heat, not in a room. I can't even, you know, I could go off on another tangent, but like to really ventilate those rooms well.
Oh, especially since COVID. I'm like,
can't imagine
this place. I don't want to be like in a little
amount of money it would take to ventilate them well.
Yeah.
They're probably not doing that.
As you may already know, not all movement practices are designed equally. In the Lit Yoga Method, we help you retrain your brain and body to move better for everyday life. Our online platform, the Lit Daily, is designed for easy convenience with a robust offering of class types so you can boost your energy while getting stress relief. When we move better, we feel better. So sign up for our free one-week trial and see how getting lit can help you feel your best today and for years to come.
All right. Our last question here is from, and I love this name, Cheerio22. Are there any moves I should avoid / modify if I have osteoporosis? Age 61. Thanks. Yes, there absolutely can be moves that you should modify with osteoporosis. If you don't know what osteoporosis is, it's basically when the density of the bone it decreases. And there's a hard line of what's osteopenia, where it's starting to become less dense and then, you know, becomes more porous. And then there's, you cross a line and you become osteoporotic. And there's a lot of things that can be done to reverse that, which we love about, you know, exercise and nutrition and even, you know, hormone type things, but that can positively impact osteoporosis and in fact reverse it. But bottom line is, as we age, our bone is basically breaking down quicker than it is rebuilding. Since you're born, your bones are constantly in this remodeling phase. That is normal. But when you're younger, you are building quicker than you're breaking down. That switches as you get older. So we're all getting older. Like I'm older now than I was when this podcast started just 10, 15 minutes ago, right? So, you know, what are some things you shouldn't do? It really depends. I would ask you, where is your osteoporosis? Mm-hmm. If it's in the spine, and how aggressive, how significant is it? If it's mild, you still got a lot of leeway. If you're hitting that moderate to severe, I have seen people with moderate to severe osteoporosis lying flat on the floor can fracture a spine, you know, can cause the vertebral body to collapse because it's basically like Swiss cheese. And then you come into that extension and you're closing down, there's pressure through. So that is an extreme case, you know, but it's not uncommon. So it really depends on where you are on the spectrum. A nice kind of rule of thumb is not to push into any range of motion. So you go to a doctor and they're going to tell you, don't twist and don't extend. And they are covering their asses because that is, you go to specifically if you're going into a traditional yoga class where they are encouraging you to push into an end range. Luckily in Lit, we don't do that. We don't ever want you to push into a range, but I'm still going to have you twist. I'm absolutely still going to have you rotate because rotation is what feeds the spine. And we need to remember, it's not just the bones. We've got We've got disc space. We've got ligaments, all sorts of stuff in there that needs to stay. If the bones are, you know, becoming more brittle, we need the stuff around it to be as strong and supple and supportive as possible. And the way to do that is through movement. So, you know, not pulling into end range, but still twisting, watching. If again, if the spine, that extension. So there are times in even a lit practice, we will maybe put you over a block to work on mobility. That might not be for you. We would modify that for you where you're not, again, because don't forget, gravity can apply a passive pull on something. So when you think about hips, a lot of traditional yoga moves say triangle, where gravity is going through the hip and the SI joint specifically, you know, putting a torque. Are you going to, if you've got mild osteoporosis, probably not, maybe even moderate, you probably wouldn't, but you know, we would still be careful about that. Laura, what else do you have to say about that?
I think be careful with, and careful is use that as just like, be careful, not as like, be cautious, because I think when we have a diagnosis, it's again, good information, but we don't want to like lock down everything. We want to stay mobile, but think small, like you're lubricating the spine, right? Also loading the spine. You know, it's really, that's a great way, and loading it in, you know, I mean, I'm a big ruck fan now. And the reason rucking is, and it's not just carrying something on your back. Some people say, oh, I carry my, you know, my grandkid, or I'm carrying more weight in my stomach, or all these things. And it's like, no, sorry. It actually has to be specifically loading down the axis of the spine. So, and a ruck pack sits right on your back. And then the weight plate is right in there. So it's literally loading your spine. Doesn't have, you know, sometimes a backpack can be a little bit kind of going backward. And so it's, you distribute in a way so the load is meant to really go down to the spine, and then really into the hips are working a lot to help that load. But the load is meant to help with bone density. And I definitely have been doing it now for, you know, 4 or 5 months. And I just feel stronger in that way of just like my spine just feels like it has, I haven't done my bone scan yet, but it feels like there's a density growth to it, even if it's just in my head. But truly that has been like one of the main things that's been recommended. They talk about some vibrating plates. There's some research out there on that. So look into other ways that like, there's a lot of good information that's being done on this now, because this is such a growing concern for people. I'm not a doctor, but I definitely would be careful about the osteoporosis medicine they have out there, because most of it is targeted to eat up the broken down bone. It's not building bone. So when the bone density scan is done, it looks like it is improving because the broken down bone has gone away, but it's not actually building. And for some people, that makes things worse. So, and of course there's side effects, but just look into everything. Like, you don't want to just go down one. I think for the answer is just look for an integrative approach. You know, look at keeping the spine and thoracic spine mobile, get weight bearing into your hips, into your spine in the ways that are appropriate. Obviously not headstanding, definitely, but like actual, like a ruck thing. And then, and then look at your diet, look at, it's not too late to look at like hormone replacement if you haven't done that, if you are able to do it. And remember, look at the research that's out, not like the old kind of wives' tale about the HRT, which was, you know, bioidentical is different than that hormone replacement with mammalian hormone. So this is very different than it used to be 20 years ago. So there we go. Great questions.
Great
As
questions.
Always, it's like a full, you know, variety. And so please write us at support@lityoga.com. Email us there or find us on social media. I'm at Laura. I'm Laura.Hyman.
I'm KB Williams 99. You can also reach out just to our Lit Method and drop a question there.
Make sure you check out our classes on Lit Daily. If you haven't been there, come on. This is all these, we're going to help you with all of these variety of questions and enhance your movement and have fun. So as always,
we're pulling for you.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Redefining Movement. If you like what you've heard, please like and subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Feel free to leave us a rating and review or share with someone you know. Check us out at www.litmethod.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.